Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The door burst open and in strolled one David Hochberg. How are you, Mr. Hochberg?
I'm good. It's going to be an interesting 120 days, isn't it?
Is that what the countdown is?
It's about that, yeah, somewhere in there.
Or maybe how many days before the convention? A lot fewer than that.
Yeah.
Pete, what's the number? How many days? What's the big convention countdown clock? But Quigley made a good point. He said there needs to be a process, and to the people who've already voted in primaries for Joe Biden, you need to honor that vote, too. So if the president steps down and there's an open process on the floor, I forget what they call it, then, you know, that needs to take place and should probably take place at the DNC here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit. What do you want to talk about?
I talked about on my show, you've got a bigger audience than me, so I just wanted to bring it up on your show, the horrible advice that two of Dave Ramsey's fill-in hosts gave to a 86-year-old leukemia patient. So I'm just going to tee that up, if that's okay with you.
You're the vice president of lending for Team Hochberg. You're the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago. We hear you Saturdays from 10 to 1 on WGN. Who's David Ramsey?
David Ramsey is a nationwide financial advice guru. He's got a radio show, TV show. Does a lot of good work. He's financial literacy is his goal. And he does an amazing job. Challenge is he had two other people fill in for him one day. And an 86-year-old lady called in with leukemia, who had lived in a $250,000 home down in Florida, called in for advice because she had $30,000 worth of credit card debt, and she was constantly $200 to $300 short every single month. And the host, basically, after berating her, telling her that she did a horrible job positioning herself to for retirement, even though she said she was a 19-year-old single mother who didn't have any support from the child's father, with a broken down car, Crown Victoria, a dog, and just a home that she owned free and clear that she should move, think about getting a part-time job.
How old is she now?
She's 86 with leukemia. Okay.
Keep going.
Okay, so I'm just like, so I was getting upset.
You were listening to this or watching this and losing your mind.
Somebody sent me the video, a colleague of mine that works with me goes, you won't believe this. So I watched it literally 3-4 times. I wrote down every single thing that this guy told her. She's sitting on a $250,000 home, and he's telling her go work at a Walmart, you know, as a greeter. She's 86 years old with leukemia, you know, rehouse her dog and sell the car and move into a rental. So if you move into a rental, let's see what happens there, Zibby. You've got real estate commissions. You've got an 86-year-old lady with leukemia who's got to move, and she's, you know, to sell her only transportation, the car. In the meantime, she could have tapped out a $125,000 reverse mortgage based upon being 86 and living in a $250,000 home. She could have paid off all of her credit card debt and had enough money to survive the rest of her life in her home with her dog, get rid of the car if she needed a car, and get a newer car, a newer used car that's more reliable instead of putting money into her 17-year-old Crown Victoria.
In that scenario, David, she captures $125,000, but if she sold the house and rented, she'd capture $250,000, and she'd only bleed $1,500 a month.
Maybe. Then she'd have to move, okay? And then you have all of the living expenses of moving into a rental, and you're assuming that that money's going to last. So why displace an experienced homeowner that's been living in her home comfortably all of this time, right? To have her go through all of the tumult of selling her home, trying to find a new home, when all that they had to do was, and then berating her.
Yeah.
So, you know, you didn't do a good enough job setting up for retirement.
I didn't see the video, but it sounds awful.
It's horrible.
Let's just talk about the numbers, though.
Yeah.
If she did, though, capture $125,000, half the value of the home, is that it?
About right for an 86-year-old.
Is it based on your age, or is
yes.
it based, really?
It's based upon age and the value of the home and the equity in your
Why
home.
Why do they base a reverse mortgage on your age in part?
It's based upon 100-year life expectancy. expectancy. So the actuary tables, the older you are, the sooner you're going to expire. So an 86-year-old lady, in this case, is going to get more than a 66-year-old lady.
Really? Well, yeah. So if I'm 50, I'm not going to get $125,000 out of a $250,000 home.
You wouldn't qualify for a reverse mortgage to begin with because you need to be at least 62. So a 50-year-old would have to go with a conventional FHA or VA loan if you qualified.
You can't get a reverse mortgage unless you're over the age of 62?
Unless you're married to somebody or a partner with somebody over the age of 62.
How have I never heard that?
Well, you don't listen to my show, so you should listen to all of my ads.
I do. I do listen to your show.
You have to
know
be at least 62. Okay,
that's interesting. But I guess that's maybe not so shocking because by 62, you've owned a home long enough to contemplate a reverse mortgage. A 30-year-old probably isn't in the market for a reverse mortgage because they don't have much equity, right?
True. Plus, you're 62, you're of retirement age, right? At 59 and a half, you're considered to be, in the lending world, of retirement age. So we could use your retirement assets as income to get loans done when you're 59 and a half and or greater. But in order to qualify for a reverse mortgage, you have to be at least 62 or one person in the transaction, 62.
And in the case of this woman then, so now she gets $125,000.
Yes.
Presumably she'll be able to live her life in that home because she's already living her life
Correct.
In that home. So now it's kind of, even though she's not getting $250,000 in renting, it's a windfall for her.
100%.
And she stays in her home.
Yes. She was getting like $1,179 worth of Social Security. So say $1,200 in Social Security. She's a couple hundred dollar, according to her, couple hundred dollars short. And the 30 grand worth of credit card debt based upon a 2 or 4% minimum payment is costing her between $600 or $1,200 a month, right? So, I mean, when you start looking at that, eliminating that debt, she'd be further ahead and be able to live in her home without rehousing her dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, could sell her car, trade in a car if she needs a car to get a better car that's less maintenance and be able to travel.
$125,000. Do you pay taxes on that?
Tax-free.
That's tax-free. So your bank account now just went up $125,000.
You don't have to take all the money at the time. You take 30 in order to pay off your debt.
Credit card debt.
To eliminate or extinguish that debt.
Okay, now I got $95,000 access to.
You tap into what you need.
You would make periodic withdrawals?
You can if you want to, yeah.
What would you recommend she do on that? Just live your life. I mean, maybe she doesn't need to take all the money out. Just get rid of the credit card debt.
Right.
But why wouldn't she? Why not capture that money if you're that old? Use it. Enjoy it.
You can. The first year, you only qualify for 60% of that 125 because that's just the way FHA works with the rules of the reverse mortgage. So she'd qualify for maybe 75.
72.
Yeah, 72, 80 grand, whatever it is. Pay the closing costs, cover the expenses, and maybe you take out the 20 that's left, put it in the bank to pay for expenses, right?
She could actually consider putting that in a T-bill or an I-bond or something
sure.
like that and capturing 5%.
It's her money.
Of course, real estate is an investment too, though, right, David? I mean,
sure.
If her home is appreciating, then that 250 goes up too, right?
Right. And plus her 125 that she'd qualify for, there's a cost of living COLA already built into that of like 5%. So she's picking up like $7,000 a year in added availability on that $120,000.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You should say that on your radio show on Saturday sometime.
I will. Yeah. What time will you be listening so I can make sure
you're
here?
When is it on? I listen to it all the time. 10 to 1. I knew that. While you were speaking, you saw me scrolling through my phone. I was just looking because every now and then she sends me screen grabs of some of the letters that her clients get. Here's one of our clients eliminated $186,000.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ray knows how I feel about this. I'm not sure we should be doing that. Like, just big picture, if you borrow money, I think you have an obligation to pay money back. But
you want the yin to that yang? Okay. The student loan debt statute was passed by the Congress in 1973. It was modified in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s by Democratic and Republican presidents. I look at it, it's just like the IRS. Okay, the IRS comes out with different rules that enables people to write off $6,000 cars. If they buy it for a business, you can write it all off in the first year. CPAs didn't write that rule, Ray didn't write the statute. Ray's a big girl. She could defend herself.
I know,
right?
That.
So, but she didn't write, and it gets me going when I get the text messages during my show. Oh, this is ridiculous. She's following the law that was written and passed by Republican and Democratic Congresses and presidents, and all she's doing, it's just like a CPA helping you with your taxes. She's just trying to follow the law. And that's what she's doing, and she's phenomenal at what she does.
And you're not declaring bankruptcy. All you're doing is saying, oh, I didn't know that. I will now apply for something that the Congress has said is there for me.
Right.
And that's a lot of people. You and I are doing a commercial for Ray all of a sudden.
I know.
And that's not why I asked you to come in. Anything else we should know about reverse mortgages, though?
Yeah. A lot of listeners have accumulated a ton of equity especially over the past 4 years with COVID. Okay. And what they're doing is they're cashing out. I talked to a North Shore realtor who's been doing it for 40 years. She's got clients now that are living in $1.5 million homes that she sold to them 20 years ago for $500,000-$600,000 that have just appreciated. These borrowers are now downsizing from their $750,000 to $1.5 million homes and walking away with a ton of equity, and they want to buy their next home for cash. And I'm just like, why are they buying their next home for cash?
They want to pay 7% interest rate.
No, not only that, you could buy a home with a reverse mortgage. So if you're in your 70s, okay, and you're buying a 600, if you're downsizing from your bigger home and you're walking away with a sizable amount of money, and you're going to buy a $600,000 retirement home, okay, just use that as your basis. And you're in your 70s, you could put down, instead of 600, you could put down like $400,000, secure a reverse mortgage, okay? Take the 200 G's, put it into a savings account. You don't have to make any mortgage payment on the reverse mortgage if you don't want to, because you got all that equity there. You let it defer the interest. The 200 grand goes into an account that you use to pay your taxes and your insurance and your homeowners association dues if you go into a Del Webb community.
Yeah.
And you basically are living income free. It doesn't cost you anything because you've got all this money set aside and the reverse mortgage is sitting there and you've got access to additional funds down the road if you want it.
I'm sorry, but a reverse mortgage, you normally live in the house.
Yeah.
So if I do a reverse mortgage
to buy a home,
but I'm moving out of that house.
No, you're moving out of your larger 750 to million. You're buying, downsizing into a $600,000 home.
But I'm not paying that cash. I'm going to borrow money to...
Instead of bringing in six, you're bringing four.
Right.
Take out a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
You take out a $200,000 reverse mortgage.
How much equity do I have in that first expensive home? It's paid off?
Yeah, it's paid off.
Okay.
It's totally, you want it through clear.
So I get a reverse mortgage on that.
New home. No. New home. On the home that you're downsizing to.
Yeah.
You're leaving your $800,000 to $1 million home.
Yeah.
You're downsizing to a $600,000 home.
Right.
Your home's paid off. You've got $1 million walking away from the closing. You go to buy a $600,000 home. Most of the people take 600 G's, wire it in, and they don't have a mortgage. I'm saying take 400 grand, wire it in, take out a $200,000 mortgage. You now have $200,000 that you didn't put down on the home. Put it into an account. That's your insurance, real estate tax, and homeowner association dues fund. Okay, that'll last you a very, very long time, depending upon what your taxes are and what your insurance is. And insurance taxes are going up. But you've got your coverage there for 10, 15, 20 years, depending upon your taxes and association dues. And you basically live.
Who's living in that first house, though, the one that we sold?
You and me and my friends and your parents.
Well, do I have two homes now?
No. You have been living in...
The million-dollar house.
You've been living in that home for 20, 30 years
now. But now I'm moving out and I'm going to a smaller house.
Right. You're
downsizing. Who's going to live in that first house?
Somebody that wants to spend $1.5 million on that house.
They bought that house.
That's not your problem. Right. Yeah. Somebody's going to buy that house.
I'm just trying to get over the little mental speed bump of reverse mortgage means you're still living in that house. Like the lady with the Crown Victoria and the dog.
Or you could buy a house with a reverse mortgage I'm saying. It's another option. Just gives you another option.
You know what? You should say that on your radio show.
I should.
Saturday.
Okay. I will. I'll say John Williams wanted me to cover this. At 10:15, we do a mailbag segment. Still waiting for the sales department to find a sponsor for it. I'll be long in the tooth there.
You're still dragging that around,
David? I'm still dragging that around.
Vice President of Lending for Team Hochberg and the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago on WGN Radio Saturdays from 10 to 1. You can call him at 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID, and tune in. You're going to be on this Saturday?
Live, yeah. We're going to be on. We've got a water cleaning company out of DuPage, from the DuPage what's it called? Incubator system.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have a lot of businesses out there.
Yeah, we got one of the businesses coming in that does purification of water.
And Ray Kaplan is also going to come by and
Ray
talk
Kaplan.
About student loans.
Yep.
If you've got more questions about that, David Hochberg, thanks for visiting with
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Happy New Year's. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day.
Thanksgiving, too.
Merry Christmas. It's